We spoke yesterday about that woman from Port Clinton who got sentenced to 15 years in federal prison because she posted inappropriate pictures of a minor online. And this is one of the hundreds of cases where people commit crimes, post them online, and we asked the question, why do people do that? We have somebody on the line who might be able to help answer that question. Her name is Dr. Michelle Druin, and she is a psychology professor at Purdue University, and she has done extensive studies on this. Michelle, good morning. It is great to have you on the morning show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Les.
So before we get into the specifics of your study, just the question in general, if you could boil it down to one thing, why do people who commit illegal activity, commit crimes, why do they post them online?
Well, the answer isn't as simple as you think. There are actually a couple of different routes by which people would post illegal information online. The first is simply because they're posting everything online. You know, they're posting what they eat for breakfast. They're posting, you know, pictures of themselves doing everything that they do in their everyday life, that it just becomes automatic to hit that button. It only takes a couple of seconds to do it. So one of the ways in which people are doing it is because they're already addicted to the internet or just addicted to posting and documenting every moment of their lives. The other part is that people who have psychopathic traits or other traits that are indicative of crime, you know, these psychological precursors to crime, those people tend to post more illegal information online as well. So one of those routes is pretty innocuous. The other one is a little bit more dangerous or a symbol of danger. But we have to remember that it's not all people who have psychopathic traits or who are, you know, in some way have a psychological disorder who are posting illegal things online. Some of them just post everything online.
Is it also that in a way they might just take the internet for granted? Like you said, they are so used to posting things, they forget in a way that this is a worldwide forum, and not only are there target postees there, but so is potentially the FBI or anybody else.
Absolutely. And we see that across other segments of research as well. People don't realize how much reach these posts can have. And they don't recognize that just posting to their inner circle, it could reverberate forever into millions of people. I think a lot of people treat it like a diary. Remember, when you're posting, it takes only a couple of seconds, and it almost feels like you're writing to yourself because you read it in your own voice. You are seeing it cast back into your own eyes. You don't see it through another person's eyes. So it gives you a difficult time really seeing the end user and who might actually be affected or be seeing your post.
Have you ever worked with anybody who said something along the lines of, boy, I didn't know there was such a thing as an IP address. I didn't know I was out there.
A lot of people will say, I didn't expect that this post would have reached this far. And that's true for me, too. Sometimes the things I post, I can't imagine how many people have viewed them. When things become viral and the person didn't really intend them to, then those types of posts especially, people are really surprised by the reach. But that's why I always tell people, especially young people that I'm talking to when I give talks, that, you know, you have to imagine that everything that you're posting goes on your digital billboard. It's not a footprint. It's not something that's small. It is like a billboard on the side of the road that everyone can see. But people really can't imagine that, especially since you have a lot of apps that disguise your tracks or that you think things are private.
Talking to Dr. Michelle Druin this morning, she's a psychology professor at Purdue University. She has studied why people post illegal activity online. A two-part question, Michelle. One, what are some of the more common things that people post? And number two, what is the most intense posting that you have ever come across in your direct hands-on work?
Well, let's talk about the common illegal things that people are posting about are underage drinking. So that would be a crime that is illegal while they're doing it at that age, but wouldn't be illegal later. But a lot of people post underage drinking. Other people post sex acts that actually show lewd or lascivious behavior that would be considered illegal, especially sex acts from public places. And I want to also add that a lot more people actually record these things than post them, which is good, which means that they do have a little bit of a filter and they understand, this probably shouldn't go online. So those would be the main two categories. If you're talking about non-illegal activities, people post everything. I am a mother of two teenagers, and the types of things that they will record and send to their friends and not necessarily post, you know, run the gamut, but the types of things that they would actually post online are their significant events. People like to post their highlight reels. People like to put out an image of themselves that is carefully curated. And then the second part of your question relates to, remind me again.
What are some of the most severe or the most severe that you have ever come across in your work?
The most severe things that people have posted are just things that have made them lose their job. I work as a forensic consultant, so I see things that people post illegally. Some of the most egregious would have been, private sex episodes that people have allegedly uploaded to Pornhub or some type of pornography site. So that would be probably something egregious. But also, I think that people are just posting anything that they could possibly think of to what they think is their private network, and then eventually those words even that they post can get them fired from their jobs. So to me, those are huge transgressions. It's just people not thinking through exactly what a post could mean.
You know, if you don't mind me saying, I think if there's any teenagers who are more closely monitored than your kids, I could just imagine. I mean, wow. Dude, you know what my mom does?
Yeah, I mean, my monitoring is tough because I do think the key to having a good relationship with children is having open communication. So what I do instead is try to talk to them about what they're encountering online. I don't think I can prevent it, even if I put apps on their phone that track them, they will find other ways. My children both got the Computer Whiz Award, so their skills almost surpass mine, probably do surpass mine in their ways to navigate technology. So it's hard for us to beat these digital natives at their own game.
Something that is related, and that is, let's say that somebody is witnessing a violent event happening, like a fight or something like that. Rather than instinctively trying to help the person, they instinctively pull out their phone and start recording this terrible event that's happening. Comment on that, and what is the mindset there?
You know, there are a couple of things that I think are going on there. First, I need to say that bystander intervention is really hard. A lot of people don't do it. There's a famous Kitty Genovese case that a lot of your listeners may have heard of, where many people heard or saw some part of a brutal murder, and no one intervened. And it took a lot of time for someone to even call the police. So that is one of the classic studies we cite, or the classic instances we cite in psychology, that shows us that intervention is hard. You have to decide there's something going on. I'm the one who needs to intervene. You have to develop a plan, and then you have to implement that plan. So there are four steps to actually intervene. Maybe some people are saying, I don't want to do that because I don't want to personally get involved, but I'm going to record it so that if that person needs documentation, I have that documentation. I can show them, hey, this is what happened to you. And maybe they think they're being helpful. Maybe they think that they're going to turn that over to authorities. The other thing, again, if we just go back to documenting day-to-day life, people are just documenting the things that happen to them. So just like they might document the food they eat or some, you know, beautiful place they've been, some people are probably documenting it in order to say, hey, I was witness to this event today. Remember, this phone is a witness to our life. We carry it around all the time. It's probably the greatest witness to our everyday acts. And so for some people, they think this is one of my everyday experiences that I'm documenting.
And if I read correctly in your study, and please correct me if I have this incorrect, but obviously posting illegal activity, regardless of the severity, it is a form of reckless behavior. And folks who do this would be reckless in other venues as well.
Yeah, well, that is one of the routes. Some people who are posting this are having, they have traits of reckless behavior, and they are reckless in other venues as well. But the other ones are not. I think part of it is just not, again, not thinking through. And remember, our brains aren't fully developed until our late 20s. So we have a lot of impulsivity, and that impulsivity could lead us to do things that, you know, if thought through, if we really thought about the long-term consequences, we wouldn't do it.
Final question. Have any of the people in your study, whether directly or indirectly, have any of them said things along the lines of, you know what, I know what I'm posting can get me arrested. I don't care. I just want the attention.
Well, we didn't ask them that. That would have been a good question to ask. There were a lot more people who were saying they were recording things than who were posting things online that were illegal. So there does seem to be a bit of a filter or some higher thought that goes into what I'm actually posting. But, I mean, they are saying that because they're doing it. So even if they know that it's illegal behavior, they're still posting it online. I would say, though, for the majority of the cases, they're just not thinking it through.
Where can we go to find out more about your work?
Just go to drmichelledruin.com or follow me on Twitter or Instagram.
And Druin is spelled D-R-O-U-I-N.
That's correct.
All right. I'd love to have you on again. This was a wonderful conversation.
I would love to, too. Thank you, Les. That's
all right,
great.
You take care. Dr. Michelle Druin, psychology professor, University of Purdue.